Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Come to Air Temple Island, your new home.
I'm the Avatar. You gotta chill with it.
You're the Avatar, and I'm an idiot.
You're a firebender. Boil it yourself.
Go away, Mako.
Don't worry. I will protect you, my feeble turtle duck.
I will make no such promises.
Bolin's got some moves, huh?
You amuse me. I will make you mine.
You shall meet again soon, beautiful woman.
I can't wait to get started. Yes! Finally!
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and the Legend of Korra podcast for DonWuFang.net. If you want extensive discussion on Korra from longtime fandom members, then this is the podcast for you. I am your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Mel.
Hello.
Sam.
Hey, you guys.
Allie.
I'm not dead.
And Delaney.
Hello.
We had a really bad Google fit.
Today we will be discussing The Guide, the latest episode of Korra.
The bane of my existence.
It was not. I don't understand that.
Is the episode or Korra the bane of your existence?
No, the episode.
The episode. Okay. I don't really get that. We'll discuss it. Yeah, we're on the home stretch now for Korra. Getting straight into Korra news. Korra will be ending this book on November 22nd. We'll be having double episodes that week before that and on the 22nd. And we've also recently learned the finale titles, which are something. Darkness Falls and Light in the Dark.
Wait, Darkness
Falls. Oh my god.
That was a movie!
Darkness Falls, maybe.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know.
I think it's a song.
These titles seemingly give away something in harmonic
convergence. They're really dumb.
But
give away something? They give away, like, everything. Yeah. Like, obviously,
Gonna get dark.
It's like the opposite of Endgame, which is the last episode title last season.
They need to hire people to come up with titles because these ones are terrible.
No, I like some of these titles. These titles could be good. Okay.
We made fun of Korra season one and like we were like, some of these are cryptic and like silly, but now it's like these are so obvious. Yeah. Why'd you even give them a title?
I don't know.
Might as well just name Korra goes into the spirit world. Part one.
Part one.
Okay. also the search is there was enough. Also, the search part 3 is out. And yeah, we'll be discussing it at some point. You can expect a random podcast on it. I don't even know when, but probably during.
Oh, I was supposed to respond.
Yeah, you were supposed to respond to that.
Yeah.
If you want to know, have some opinion on it until then, you can look at. I did a review, and you can see that on DFN, our Tumblr, which is at DonWuFang, and along with our Twitter. And yeah, I actually kind of liked it, so. Yeah, it was surprising, but I thought it's good. I would recommend it. And it's out in comic book stores now, not yet on Amazon. That's it for Korra news, I think. But yeah, we're on the home stretch for Korra episodes, and you can stick with us at From the Spirit World for each episode discussion. We'll have episodes up by either midnight or 1 a.m., depending on whether it's a half-hour or hour episode. So let's get right into The Guide, written by Josh Hamilton and directed by Colin Heck. This was coming off a high here from Beginnings, and leading up to another high because Brian said in his Tumblr post announcing the schedule that especially the two before the finale are going to be like super action packed and stuff.
It's like a roller coaster.
Yeah, roller coaster. Yeah,
a very very sad roller coaster.
I mean, depends how you think about this, but yeah, let's get right into the guide. What did you think? Give me some brief general thoughts. What did you like about the episode? What did you not like? Let's start with Mel.
The dialogue in it was awful, to be quite honest. And some of the writing was just weird. And it did feel like a setup episode to the next ones, even without, because the next one's a two-parter, right?
Mm-mm.
And stuff?
No, next one will be the last.
Okay, well.
I mean, none of them are two-parters except the finale. Nick is
okay,
just
well, airing. Either way.
Wait, I thought the one before
Nick,
that was
Nick is just airing them together. They're not actually
two-parters.
Okay. Why are they so dumb?
It felt like, it was setting up to, obviously, the next episode, or even just that whole arc in the spirit world, and it was kind of, I would say obvious to the audience what had to be going on from the beginning like that. Jinora is the one who has to do it, not Tenzin, and Tenzin just came off as really just an awful human being who can't say words like a normal person can ever, apparently, with his dialogue. But I did, I mean, besides all that, though, I did enjoy it because I wanted to see where it was going. So I kind of have a love-hate relationship with this episode.
Ooh, how dramatic.
Oh, yeah.
Delaney, what did you think?
Pretty much everything Mel said, though. I don't have, like, a love-hate. It's mine's just, like, meh. I just didn't have, like, I don't love it, I don't hate it, though I feel like the good kind of outweighs the bad, but I can't really say I like it. Yeah, the dialogue is horrendous. Like, the first time I was like, eh, then I watch it the second time, and I'm just like, I can't listen to these people talk. And I really hope Tenzin gets some decent, because, like, they're destroying the poor man's character, and he didn't have any to begin with. And it's just like, you're hating on your kid, dude, calm down. Though I understood where he was coming from, like, I could appreciate, like, the point behind it, but... And then, I didn't care about, like, I know a lot of people are upset about the new triangle, the triangle part two, and I just don't care. I like that Bolin moved out, but I'm just, and I have a theory anyway, but I really just don't care.
Yeah, you mean the love triangle returned, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really I love that Jinora is, like, a main focus of the episode, but other than that, I was just like, eh, it's such an obvious setup, and there just wasn't really... a lot of substance to the episode. They were giving us a lot of information, but I don't know. I just didn't really care for this episode.
Okay. Allie, what'd you think?
I hated it so much. First of all, I had to watch on a stream, and the girl who was recording it recorded it with, like, a handheld camera, and she dropped it 3 times.
What was she doing? Jumping jacks? How do you drop the camera?
There's better streams out there.
There were so many better streams.
We couldn't find one.
I'll give you a link.
Okay, can I finish, please? Because we searched for like a half hour and we couldn't find any other ones except for like two, and they were both the same.
Continue.
Anyway, the animation was bad, the writing was bad, the dialogue was awkward and horrible, and just, oh my god, Asami... I hate what they're doing with her so much. Amako aside, like, Asami has so much potential to become so much better, and they're just digging her grave even deeper, and I hate it so much. But I'll get more into it as we talk about it. I'm upset right now.
Okay. And Sam.
Didn't like it.
Well, surprise, surprise. Didn't really care at all.
We're in the same boat, Sam. It's okay.
I didn't even think it was bad. I just didn't care. I mean, things happened. Good. That's nice.
You're summing up all my feelings, Sam.
I mean, animation was... I agree with Ali. Animation did look off. And it's Studio Mirror doing this, right?
Just comparing it to the episode before.
This was the last episode of Studio Perot.
We knew this was coming, though. We knew we were going to be like, ugh.
I just don't care at all. Jinora's cool. I mean, her hair is really nice. But
she's had that hair the entire time, though.
It looks really cute. It was a thing to kill time. That's basically how I feel with this episode. I killed a half hour of my life.
That's kind of harsh.
Oh my god, yeah, same. I felt the same way.
Okay, let me bring the positive attitude to this podcast, because I'm always... Sorry! I'm always that. I thought...
Well, I did, like, murder an hour of my life.
There's a difference there.
It murdered mine.
Okay. I thought this episode was largely unoffensive. Whatever. What is it?
Inoffensive.
Is it in or on?
What is unoffensive?
Unoffensive.
Oh, unoffensive. Okay. I thought you were saying
that's
on.
The best thing I can say. There was, see, like, this, it was obvious we're going to get this type of episode again after we saw, this was like episodes 1 to 5, right? Where we had A and the B plot and, you know, stuff like that. And unlike episodes 1 to 5, I didn't think there's anything horrible with it, which I think is the best thing I can say about it. There's also nothing really good, though. I really miss the sting, honestly. There's no really cool action sequences. There's no cool plot points and reveals. It was all just kind of there. I mean, I like everything with Jinora, but it was mostly, I don't know, it was meh, really, most of the stuff that happened with her. I like the Tenzin family dynamics better. I didn't hate Tenzin, like you guys said. I don't think he came off that way. I think he came off as... Maybe not like a good father, but he didn't seem mean. Like, he didn't seem like he was insulting Jinora. It's just like,
It wasn't, like, on purpose.
I mean, I don't know if it was even there, but...
It's his own issues.
He is, sure, certainly his issues. I think one of the big things with Tenzin is that... I hate to say it, but I really do think J.K. Simmons is not bringing much to this role right now. It was a pretty lifeless today in his performance.
If we're going
to
be fair, how are you going to be life, like, have life in those lines? Like, his lines are horrible.
Don't blame the actors, blame the writing.
No, I do think it was J.K. Simmons wasn't... Like, I think Varick does John Michael Williams does a ton with what he's given.
He's given better lines.
I don't know if that's true. But there's certainly some off dialogue, but I don't think anything was really horrible. Specifically, there's Bumi when Tenzin's doing the airbending and cleansing thing at the end just has two random insert lines which don't work. I always look out for things that just completely don't work in the episode. That was one of them. But other than that, it was
a lot of ploys.
Yeah, well, that also just reminded us of those ploys for power last season, yeah.
Ploys for
power. But I don't know, I thought it was fine. Like, I don't really care about Mako and Asami. Mako's characterization is interesting. I thought how they did that was interesting, and we'll get into that.
How?
We'll get into it.
I like Mako in this episode. I felt bad for him.
A lot of people hated Mako. I don't think he did anything wrong here.
No, he didn't do anything wrong.
I mean, they're technically broken up, so...
Like, the biggest... Yeah. Like, who cares?
That's not even it. He's just...
The biggest...
Look, we know you closet shipped the Makora, so just...
I mean, that's not it. Yeah, just him being stupid.
Don't even. Okay, let's start getting into specifics.
I hate all of you.
I thought the A plot... Okay, thank you for establishing that early in this podcast. I would say that...
I'm just letting you know.
The A plot of this episode was Korra and Tenzin trying to reach the spirit world and then Jinora getting involved in that. You could say Jinora is kind of a C plot, but I would say that was just basically the A plot. And then the B plot was Republic City stuff.
The C plot is like those people.
Those people?
Desna and Eska and
wow, I completely forgot about that. I just had
to be honest, it was just like two or three scenes.
Honestly, it was 2 minutes.
That was a perfect C plot though. I thought this C plot was handled pretty well. So
yes, I'm sick of
I didn't think like the characterization within it was well, but we'll get into that. So the Unalaq was the C plot. The Unalaq, great. So we start out at the Air Temple with the scene we were given earlier in the week, Jinora with Furry Foot and her imaginary friends.
Furry Foots.
Which is all very cute.
They're not imaginary. Yeah, they're obviously
it was painfully
real.
Cute.
I like how my favorite part of how Jinora is characterized with this is that she's like not like ashamed like that she has like quote unquote like imaginary friends. Like even though she knows they're not imaginary, it's not like she's like embarrassed that other people think she has it. She's very sure of herself, which I like.
Well, she's 10. I think it's still acceptable to have imaginary friends when you're 10.
I don't think so.
It's like internet friends.
Well, we're not Sam, imaginary. Are we imaginary to you?
You could be.
We actually don't exist.
Yeah,
this could just be a hallucination I'm having.
It could be. But,
or we could just be spirits.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I like that better. I'm a spirit, but okay.
But when I was 10, I had an imaginary horse, so that's okay.
Aw.
I had an imaginary puppy before I got an actual one.
Aww.
I had the whole Scooby-Doo gang. Those were my imaginary friends. I didn't recognize them.
Okay. Yeah, I had real things growing up.
Okay, schedules are important, says Tenzin. I thought this was one of the... Okay, I thought another general point about this episode is that there weren't really humor beats, and the ones that were there didn't really hit. But I thought this one hit. Tenzin with the schedules.
That hit?
I liked that line. I thought that was
funny. It's just so in his character, yeah. Even though I say he lacks a character, that's definitely, like, what we've seen, like, schedules are important. I cracked up.
Yeah.
That's such a dad thing, though. He wants him to see all this old stuff.
Well, that was after
history.
That, but yeah. I also thought that was pretty good.
And the repetition of ancient.
Dads.
And dad, or an egg, or father.
God.
Dads.
They're trying real hard for this motif stuff where they just repeat the same word
over
and over
again. Or
they're
just really bad writers.
I would not describe Josh Hamilton as a bad writer.
Mel's dying, by the way.
Yeah, Mel is sick, in case you couldn't tell.
We're fine.
Yeah,
no, she's not sick, she's just dying.
No, I would hope not.
But we're all dying.
She has typhoid.
Damn!
Okay, all of you need to stop, okay?
You took this to a place, and...
So then we have Korra recapping everything really fast, reminiscent of Sokka doing this last show. I was about to say last season. No.
Last episode.
Last show.
Sokka was still alive.
But yeah.
Last show.
I mean, Sam tried to find the trope on this, but I didn't. I'd say it's mostly unsuccessful. I don't think there's a trope on TV Tropes.
It was so bad. Oh my god.
It's something like a cross between like Motor Mouth and something else.
Motor Mouth with maybe some other stuff. it's not original, and it wasn't executed well, I would say.
Well, if they had changed up how she said things, it could have been better. Like, when Sokka did it, it was great. But now it's like,
was funny. Yeah, it was the only funny thing about it is the concept, and the concept isn't even that funny.
It's not funny.
Yeah, here it's not. Funny. I agree. It's not really funny here.
They could have done it well. I think if they had just the way she said things, I'm just like,
It's like Cora's not really a jokester. Like, and she doesn't have to be. But like, why does she need to say this? I don't know.
They like to take out all these scenes. We've been complaining about the pacing the whole time, and the one time they actually should have done it, they didn't do it.
I just like how Tenzin knew all that. I knew it.
Oh, yeah, he was like, I knew this would happen. Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
I thought that was kind of funny, too.
But, again, I don't think J.K. Simmons read that very well. Like,
No, he didn't, but the humor beat was good, the way they gave
it a
second.
I agree the humor beat was good. He was like, the way you should say that line is like, he just has said it unemphatically, I guess, which is kind of...
I don't feel like Tenzin has a lot of emotion, though.
Yeah, same. Well...
Yeah, but it's like, I knew this would happen.
I don't know if I would describe him like that. Maybe he's just like...
No. All he said was, I knew this would happen. You know, like,
no, what she said before. Like, that he doesn't have emotion. I wouldn't describe him as that.
Well, I didn't mean like that. I mean, like, I don't know.
I don't think he really emotes very, very often.
I'm just really disappointed in J.K. Simmons because he
I'm disappointed in everything right now.
You know, Allie. He did like a really good voiceover in Portal 2 for what's his face?
But that was a different character.
Yeah, true, but so,
I feel like J.K. Simmons did much better last book. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then Korra. Okay, so then Korra and Tenzin have a talk. Korra thinks Unalaq is going to free Vatu. Did she actually explicitly learn that in beginnings, or is she just speculating?
She's speculating.
See, I thought she was speculating, but I feel like they may have...
I think it was speculating about what? Him letting Batu out?
Yeah, that Unalaq is specifically trying to... Or did Old Lady... Knows,
no, she doesn't
did
know
old
that.
Lady, did Old Lady Knows Everything last episode tell her that?
I mean, we didn't see it.
I honestly think she just is speculating.
Yeah,
about what she's trying to do.
Yeah, which is like...
Well, it was the only thing she could assume at that point, really.
Actually, I thought Korra was, like, very smart this episode. Like, she... Like,
yeah, same.
She,
like, oh, yeah. She was really out of character.
She thought about everything that was going to happen, and she made appropriate inferences.
A rational decision. Yeah. Like, she was really out of character.
I don't think she was out of character.
She should lose her identity more often.
Basically, I worry that this... Shut up. I worry that... I worry that this is the writer's like, okay, pre-beginnings was Korra like building up to character development, and now she's had her development, and now she's post-development. It's not linear like that, and I hope that's not what we're going to see.
From a flashback about Juan, I hope that's really not it.
Yeah, we'll see though. Maybe they'll do it.
The key to all character development, lose your memory and become someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Spirit World to close. So yeah, then they're like, we have to go to the Spirit World to close the portal because Unalaq's guarding the Southern One. Okay, fine. Question,
how is he guarding it? Like, they can fly. Just out of curiosity. They have Flying Bison.
Yeah.
They could, like, fly over, like, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I don't feel
she
like
get
he sleeps
bison?
There.
She got
yes.
a bison. Where did the bison go?
Yeah.
Allie was really offended about that.
Oh, yeah.
I am still offended about
presumably
that.
Presumably she got to the Air Temple somehow.
I'm wondering how Naga is going
to
feel about
all
this.
You can only fly up. You can only fly to the temples. We learned that in Avatar.
Yeah, well, unless
you can only have one spiritual guide.
Airblends, right? But yeah,
you can only have one animal guide. Like, this is not okay.
Is that a rule?
Maybe
that like
the bison's a pet.
Well, that's still not okay.
Korra thinks Unalaq. Oh, we already read that. Unalaq is mad at Desna and Eska, cause reasons, and Unalaq says they need to go into the spirit world.
Why is Desna the, like, nicer one, / less crazy one?
Why? What do you mean, why?
Like, it's just, it's weird.
So do you think Eska should be more, or do you think they both should just be insane?
They both should be insane.
Does Desna talk this episode? I don't think so.
Yes, he does.
What does he say?
He's like, no, let's, like, what, I thought the portal was closed. Like,
he's like, it's not our fault, and then, like,
oh, that's
yeah.
Is that his one line?
Desna's the one who actually talks. Eska only talks, like, at the second scene with him.
Yeah,
she talks at the.
Yeah,
person.
I guess I'm just remembering the. No, she does. Okay, whatever. I should say relevant to later. I thought that the scenes we got with Dustin Eska this episode made me less sure that they're spirits. Like, I didn't get the impression from this.
Episode. No, they didn't refer to the spirits as we.
Yeah,
they said,
yeah, like they're talking. And I also got even despite Unalaq being the worst father ever, I got the impression that they were his kids, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they're just trying to lead us off the scent, but we'll see. Bolin and Republic City stuff. You've had a busy week, says Asami, and then Mako's upset about stuff. That's my
recap. Did they actually go to lunch, or did they just abandon him for the rest of the day? I got really confused, because the first time I was like, they abandoned him the rest of the day, but then I was like, maybe they just went to lunch.
This was like during their lunch break, I thought.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, because they said that, but then like the way they did like the kind of fast forward and like the lighting, I got really confused.
Yeah, so I thought this was a humor beat that fell flat, and Bolin just hanging from the ceiling. It was like, oh, that's mean. It wasn't like, ha ha ha, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's just, it wasn't even like, oh, Bolin. It was like, this is kind of unrealistic. Why would you keep your movie star up there?
Yeah.
Asami getting along with Mako and Bolin's like, oh, are you two dating again? Except he was inside.
So you just broke up with Korra, dude. Yeah. Or, no, Korra just left the week out.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was like a period where it was like unacceptable to date other people.
That's not even it. It's just,
well, that's not it.
No, it's Asami. Like, why?
Okay, I didn't like that she was throwing herself all over Mako the entire time. Like, I didn't get that.
That's what made me so upset.
Here's the deal, though. I mean, Mako and Korra are technically broken up. I mean, nobody's doing anything
wrong. And Mako left Asami,
Okay, look. Mako and Korra are broken up. Asami has absolutely no one. Of course she's going to want the comfort of Mako.
Why of Mako?
Because that's the closest person to her.
For the record, I don't care that they're trying to get together. My thing was just like, I was just really struck by how like immediately Asami just kept touching Mako. That's the only thing. I don't really care that they're together. I don't care about the triangle.
I don't care that they're together or not together. I care that she was like throwing herself on him all the time.
What you do when you're with someone,
I'm not like
right?
super upset. I was just like, I don't know.
Do we need to have a conversation about
we do.
Why is putting hands on chest like bad? Like,
no, it was just, no, it wasn't bad. It was just, it surprised me. The second scene when they were like making out, I didn't really care. But like the first scene, I was just struck by it because I thought the kiss was just going to be a one-time thing.
I see. So it was, I agree. The second
it was shocking made me more angry.
I agree it was abrupt, but I think that was the point.
Dating is more angry, but we'll get back to that.
Like,
later.
I didn't really care about any of it. Honestly, I think most of the Masami stuff in this episode just came off to me as like two attracted people like being with each other.
They didn't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Except Bolin's like, oh, yeah, like whatever. Like he raises an objection, and then it doesn't even matter. Which I agree. I mean, I think this is like bad for Asami, right? Like she shouldn't have to just run back to this one guy. Like there should be other people there for her. Like Bolin should be there for her more, but
Bolin's kind of
Bolin's just too out there, you know, to know.
He's up in his own little world right now.
And of course she should be there for herself.
I'm also annoyed with what they're doing with him, but that's another story.
Of course Asami should be there for herself, but like even if you're strong, her parents are essentially
both dead.
You still
so
need
I can
people, right? Yeah.
Asami.
She just has absolutely no one.
Yeah, she's from a broken home, and like her boyfriend broke up with her to go out with the Avatar, and now they're broken up. I mean, I can see where she's coming from, totally. It would just shock me.
And it's not like Mako's a bad guy, right? Who cares?
No, I'm really liking Mako this season.
Well, that's funny.
In this moment.
In this moment, right? recently, Mako's been fine. But that being said, yeah, like, I guess you have to have short memory to get over what he did to her last season, yeah.
Yes, fair enough. It has
been over 6 months, so, you know, whatever. Back to the Air Temple. They say, are they at the Eastern, right?
Yes.
It's the most spiritual of all the Air Temples. I don't know if I buy that, but okay.
Yeah, me neither. They don't talk about anything about the women. Like, they made such a big deal in Avatar how the Eastern temples where all the women went. They didn't mention it at all this episode.
You mean the
Western
temple?
Am I confused? I thought it was the Eastern temple.
No, the Western Air Temple where the women
are. Are you sure? Who cares?
Aren't there just two men, two women?
No. No, it's the.
Yeah, I really thought it was the Eastern.
The Western Temple. Just the Western Air Temple where the women.
I think you're wrong. I'm gonna look this up as we talk.
I think you're wrong. So.
Well, obviously you're saying the opposite.
Come back.
I'm gonna look it up right now.
I think
statue of a woman.
The Eastern Air Temple, says Avatar Wikia, is one of the four original temples. The other being the Western Air Temple, which exclusively housed female airbenders. Yeah, so
it doesn't say that for me right now.
You can check. But anyway, for the record, I don't endorse going to Avatar.
Which one housed? I'm just
East and West both had females. North and South had male. But anyway, there's a giant temple statue of Yang Chen, and at some point they're on Yang Chen's head.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I thought that was Aang's head.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Yang Chen.
It's like Mount Rushmore. But...
Yeah.
except not.
Like, I knew it wasn't Aang, but I was like, I couldn't figure out who it was. But Yang
wait, actually,
sense.
Those might be, yeah, well, those might be two separate statues, but I thought.
I doubt they went to all those temples and were like, let's carve Aang's face everywhere. Like, I doubt that happened.
I thought both.
They probably commissioned an earthbender to come in and be like, hey.
Wait, he already has the Statue of Liberty of Aang, okay? Like, he doesn't need anymore.
It's possible they're two separate statues. I think they're both Yang Chen, but I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, Milo. Milo is so Egg adorable this season. Like, oh my goodness.
Yes.
Like, I think he's annoying.
He was annoying last book, but
the
this
bell
book,
was precious.
He's super adorable. Oh, did I
disagree. I think he was better last season.
No, he's,
when he's not making
so
poop jokes,
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, Milo's awesome. I love Milo.
The giant snot bubble was really great, though. It lasted for a solid 30 seconds. I was like, really?
I'm glad you're impressed by that. Trying to get to the SW spirit world. I do that on the outline a lot. So yeah, they do stuff. Kaya has too much smoke, which I thought was funny because she's a hippie. giant Yang Chen. So that's what I took away from this montage.
Nice.
I thought I got a bit tiresome. Like, let's try this and this and this. I'm like, what is this, a Scooby-Doo episode?
Yeah,
like,
really.
Can we get to the point? I mean, I wasn't like really annoyed by it, though. I do like that Kaya's the one picking up on Jinora and her stuff.
I don't understand why.
Because they have a connection.
She's a spiritual person.
They have a connection.
Yeah, but
says,
why Jinora?
See,
they told us this before the
season
started.
That's not what I'm saying. I said, why Jinora?
Why Jinora? Oh, well,
because
they don't
they're BFFs.
That.
Exactly.
Aren't you close with your aunt?
Oh my god, that's not what I'm talking
okay,
about.
Okay, I feel like. Okay, listen. Well, I feel like it's more of just like a being a. Like, I mean, it could happen to any of the children. I just think it just happened to be Jinora because she's the oldest. Right. And like,
so
are we going to make Milo take Korra into the spirit world? No.
Right, so this is one of my discussion points at the end. We can talk about.
Imagine
it
now. Though, if Milo took Korra into the spirit world.
The explanation they have at the end of this episode is that Jinora is capable of taking Korra into the spirit world because of her natural like spirit talent. So I guess do you buy this?
No,
I don't see any problem with it.
That's so dumb.
Like, I don't think Aang was an airbending prodigy because he was the Avatar. I just think he was an airbending prodigy because he was gifted in airbending.
I agree.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like natural talent things.
Neither do I.
Dylan doesn't like people who are good at things.
Yeah, basically. But I also,
neither do I.
There's also just no evidence of Jinora having this before. Right? So this is just very random. I mean,
it's really
not like
random.
We have a lot of Jinora screen time, though, and I doubt there's a lot of spirits in Republic City.
I mean, yeah, she would have been, like, you know, running around with spirit bunnies before. You don't know that.
I like Jinora's portrayal in this episode in terms of her self-confidence. I don't like just randomly her being spiritual. But
same.
I don't think we see a lot of natural ability in this except aside from Unalaq and her, so it doesn't really bother me a lot.
I mean,
I can see why
like
it would bother me.
Ultimately, I don't care because this gives us more Jinora screen time, which is what we want. But
oh my god.
Just,
no, it's
wait, what do you mean?
Well, I mean it is, but it's not like my priority.
That is my priority. Like,
well,
more Asami and Jinora screen time. That's all I care about.
Same. Asami, yes.
Asami.
And Lin when she's
more
not,
good
like,
Asami has screen
being
time.
A device.
Yeah, okay. So then, I don't see. I just lost where I was with the outline. Oh, yes. Shortcomings. So, Tenzin's being all, woe is me. And Bumi's like, welcome to the I Disappoint Dad Club.
I was really expecting Kaya to, like, be like, Boomy, but she, and I was, like, really kind of surprised she
that
didn't say
like
anything.
That was, like, depressing, though.
Alaburn on the forums doesn't like that they keep piling on to the
Aang
is a bad father thing.
Yeah,
did that
it
bother
seems
you
like,
guys?
Yes. It seems out
it
of character.
Doesn't bother. I think I might be the only person it doesn't bother.
I'm
doesn't bother me.
I'm packing.
In this episode,
right now,
it didn't bother me. So, like,
just the fact that they keep saying it over and over.
Well, I mean, it's natural that I honestly think that was a natural line that Bumi would say. It's like, oh, once you couldn't, you know, the kid who was like the favorite child, at least in their eyes,
but it was
for
more,
once, disappointed
the way he said it. The way he said it made it seem just more like, oh, see, like now, like oh, you see what it was like for me. Like dad was always disappointed in me, not just like, oh, now you can't like make dad proud. It's just like, oh,
yeah,
now you see what
but
I.
But that's
like.
Saying the same thing though. I mean,
no, but it make the way he said it made it seem just like Aang was a bad father.
Right.
More
well,
than like,
I think, and he may feel that way, but I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying or portraying Aang as not being a perfect human being, because honestly, I think it would be natural that he'd gravitate.
Perfect human being and bad father are not
okay,
the same
okay,
thing.
Okay.
I'm not saying he's a bad father. I'm saying I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility that he played favorites with his children.
Okay,
agree.
And you're going to have to get over that.
I I still take issue with that. I want them to bring that up later, but I was fine with the line in this episode.
Like, it still hasn't. Yeah, that's exactly how
the line was okay, but just.
And like, I just want it to be resolved. Like, they acted like it was resolved, and they keep bringing it up. So I'm like, surely this is going to be resolved later. Maybe not even this season, but I just feel like if they keep bringing it up, we're going to have to see Aang at some point.
Well, it's a Chekhov's gun. They have to.
Yeah. So like, I'm fine with if this ultimately is what happens. Like, Aang wasn't amazing like with his kids, but we need to like actually see it. I want this
in Katara, because Katara would not let Aang like do this stuff.
Yeah. We need some flashbacks to resolve this at the end. I don't.
Strike, if you're listening, we need some Katara flashbacks.
I don't think we're going to see them at the end of this, but we'll see. Janora's spirit friends, she says they are dragonfly bunny spirits.
That's nice.
Great.
I didn't care.
Okay.
Like, I don't care.
Great, Allie, you're turning into Sam. Always had connection with spirits, says Janora, so there we have some.
They're adorable.
They are adorable. Boomjoon is whatever. For the record, if you look at them, Boomjoon seems to be the leader of this group. And this is also the one Janora calls... whatever.
Fluffy, whatever.
Fluffy, something.
Yeah, and it's the one that, like, goes behind Tenzin and makes the ears. So, like, I like continuity with random inanimate objects, even though they're, like, they're not inanimate objects, but non-human creatures, you know, I like that.
They're things.
They're things, yeah.
They exist.
Yeah.
They're spirits.
Can bend, okay, so, then we see the scene of, Unalaq, and then they enter the portal, and then, so, I think this is confusing, but let's discuss this. Unalaq then refers to the spirit world in the tense, like, as if they're currently in the spirit world. They are in this, we discussed this in the Beginnings podcast. They're in this, what I thought was...
With much confusion.
Yeah, I thought this was the waiting room for the spirit world. And there's both portals, and then also, Vatu is locked up here. Turns out, this seems to just be the spirit world. It seems like you walk into that light... That's the portal to the south. You walk into it, now you're in the spirit world. There's the portal on the other side, which isn't open yet, and is surrounded by this force field. And then Vatu's also there.
That's a really short distance across the world.
Yeah, it's like 20 feet, and you're on the other side.
Which it makes sense that it's more compressed, and they talked about, like, that's where the worlds touch, is that at the poles.
Mm-hmm. But this is very clear. I think Unalaq is pretty clear that this is the spirit world. Also, okay, and then...
Well, then he makes a big deal about the bending.
So he says... Now that we entered the spirit world through the portal, we can bend unlike other people. So I don't like this, but like the way they portrayed it in the episode. But at some black ID, 1D on Twitter said his physical body was in the spirit world, so he could bend, which I think is a really cool explanation.
Yeah.
Yes.
So okay.
Well, I had a thought just before you started talking about it was like, because I mean I didn't interpret like what he said that way, but though I can totally see it is that it's because the Avatar, and we saw, you know, Aang couldn't bend in the spirit world. He's part spirit. The Avatar is inherently spirit and human, so I could see him not being able to bend in the spirit world because spirits can't do anything in the spirit world. Okay, well, they can destroy stuff. But, you know, yeah, that's what I meant. Like, and yeah, Korra won't be. I don't think Korra will be able to bend in the spirit world.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, so they're obviously making stuff up for
definitely.
The spirit world, which I think is fine. If you actually look back at Avatar, we know basically nothing about the spirit world, and what we know is all from season one and is from two separate episodes, mm-hmm. which pretty much contradict each other.
The first time from was Aang, like a spiritual and, plane.
Yeah, so...
And just Aang's interpretation of stuff, because no one sat him down and told him anything.
Yeah, so, like, we don't know anything about that. But I would like them to present this more clearly. If it's what At Some Black Kid said on Twitter, it's... that's his name. Like, I don't know.
I'm sorry.
It's spelled with a one instead of the I for kid, if you want to look at it. But if it's like what he said, which is awesome, like that's the best explanation I can see, then just say it. Like, yes. That makes sense. Just say it. Like, their bodies are actually in the spirit world, as opposed to like if you meditate and go in the spirit world, then your body's actually like what's gonna happen with Korra and Janora. They won't be able to.
Well, why wouldn't Tenzin say anything?
What do you mean, why wouldn't Tenzin?
Wouldn't he be like, hey, remember, you guys can't bend, don't forget.
Well, maybe he doesn't.
I feel like he doesn't know that, because he hasn't been there. Definitely.
But he did all this research.
He hasn't been in the spirit world.
I don't know.
I feel like he's a researcher right there. What? It was research.
Oh, God.
He did. Like, he complained for, like, the whole episode. I've been studying my whole life.
Yeah,
and, like, it's like, really Tenzin needs to know things.
Was anyone happy with how they portrayed this? Like, or did you not like it? Just their explanation of bending in the spirit world.
No, it's just really, there wasn't really clear that
there wasn't an explanation. So, like,
well, I mean, Unalaq did say, since we went through the portal, we can vent here.
Well, the physical thing sounds cool, but they didn't tell us.
They didn't say that.
I think that's when the camera fell down, so I didn't hear that part.
Okay, you need to watch a better stream, but yeah.
Yeah,
it's just clear to me that they're making stuff up as they go along.
Which is fine. Like, they're going to have to do that, like we said.
Because it's not like they made, like, strict rules. It wasn't like, it's not like the Harry Potter books were like, hey, J.K. Rowling can't do this. This doesn't make sense. You've written 5 books, but, like,
well,
before the
J.K. Rowling mixed up. Like, the Horcruxes were made up as at the
series. Yes.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Supposedly she had it planned out, but, like, that was just, like, a thing that was introduced late in the series that we didn't know about before. I think that's somewhat similar to New Black.
Fair enough. But granted, she made it fit with the Tom Riddle's diary, but this is different because, like, we don't know anything, so it seems like this is, like, really crazy, and I don't know, like, it doesn't bother me, but then at the same time, like, because, like, we've thought for so long that everything we saw in Avatar was, like, these are rules, these are things we know, but we don't know anything. It's just like, ugh.
Yeah. I don't know. I would be better if they.
It's just frustrating.
I would be better if they explained it better. Like, I don't know. We'll see.
Can you write us a Spirit World manual? That'd be great.
Yeah, like, get on that, Brian. But yeah. So then we see Unalaq being. So okay, here's the question: who's the worst father? Do we have?
Oh God.
Ozai, Hiroshi, or Unalaq?
It's tough. Ozai and Unalaq, it's pretty tough.
I think Ozai kinda...
Pretty sure it's Ozai.
So, here's the thing. Ozai doesn't actually try to kill his kid, but
it's psychological, like,
manipulation. Well, yes, okay, he does at the end, you're right.
He destroys their minds.
So,
like,
he killed
them.
He tries to kill him.
In Day of Black Sun, he...
Multiple times, kind
multiple
of.
Times, just that
and
one.
Kind yes. of the whole gist of the show is because Ozai burned his son.
That's not trying to... That was as we... Well, okay, I don't want to spoil Search Part 3, but you learn a little bit about that in that. But,
they're going to just mess with all sorts of stuff. Fantastic.
But anyway, it seems intentional, like him, like messing with Zuko. Anyway, but Hiroshi actually tries to kill Asami. Like, so does Ozai, but Unalaq's
so not
trying to kill Desna, but he's just like, I don't care if you die, so...
Yeah, that's just the line. Wait, made it so much worse.
Do we know Hiroshi was going to kill Asami, or was he just going to be like,
very clearly
I'll put you in jail?
No, he was very clearly trying to kill her.
Just have a three-way tie for
was he really?
I think that's the impression you get from that scene, very, very much so. That's my thing.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like, it doesn't have to be that way.
I mean, it's a very optimistic viewpoint of that.
Okay. I think if you take a certain, I think you have to look at it in different aspects, like the psychological and I guess mostly physical. Ozai's like, this is really bad. Then Hiroshi just goes nutso and it's very physical. But then like Unalaq is just like doesn't even care, which I guess it's kind of more like negligent. So I guess it's kind of, they're like different categories of just terrible.
So
they're hard to compare.
They're hard to compare. I actually asked I asked this question last season because we also had Yakone being a horrible father. It's like Mike and Brian just want to write so many horrible fathers into their show.
Did their dads like do something?
Yeah, they have like father problems.
Well, so I think
father problems.
The way I want to look
daddy
at this,
issues.
The way I want to look at this is just like more male like relationships, right? So it's
that's what I was
it's,
about
it's
to
never,
say. Yeah.
It's never like mothers are good or bad. Well, mothers are good, but they never have mother problems, right?
They're,
it's always daddy problems. But
I feel like all have mother problems.
What?
I feel like Hoth had mother problems.
Yeah, but it wasn't like her mother was like bad. She was just annoying, right?
I feel like they portray mothers as like meek and like
yeah, I agree,
and just like passive almost.
I agree.
And I thought we decided that Avatar, though not as much, does have more like female like focus than.
I agree, but I still think Avatar kind of has this problem. Like, I don't think there's.
I mean, I would agree.
I don't think there's really these strong mother figures. Like you could say Katara's mom, but like she's dead. So.
Well, okay.
Did I offend you?
I am offended. Yes, I'm highly offended that you're just like, well,
we
she's dead. Like,
all
no.
Four of us
she's
dead. Dead.
Anyway, what are your feelings?
That's
on...
like when someone says Aang's dead. It's the same.
Yeah, I know.
Feeling.
Right?
What Katara's not actually dead.
What are
so...
your feelings on Unalaq?
He's
bad.
Don't care. He's a villain.
I mean,
I don't understand his motivation.
He wants power, like any other
but, like,
villain.
Well,
he's really
about it.
Lame.
Okay, Allie, that's not a good statement. Like any other villain, because that's just not true.
But
it is.
his big thing is he, like, well, in Avatar, it's definitely the power thing, so I can see where you're coming from. But for me, it was like, because he kept talking, he wanted to change the world, he wanted to, like, make the spirits, all this stuff. So is that just because Vatu would, like, take over the world and make it all spirits?
Here's,
I'm just confused by his motivation.
From,
he might have been lying.
Listen.
Okay.
Here's what I'm getting from, I had to get you to be quiet. Here's what I got kind of from that thing with, you know, him actually directly talking to Vatu, which is just the first time we saw those two talking. It kind of, to me, felt like a sort of Darth Vader, Darth Sidious relationship, and I'm...
Okay.
If you get what I'm saying, yeah. There, what I'm going with, I mean, we don't know the full extent of how those two came to, I don't know, meet. I don't even know.
Yo, hold on, dude. When you made that comparison, I just felt like, you know how Darth, you know how, kind of spoilers, like Luke and Leia are twins.
If you're going to tell me Darth Vader...
You can't spoil Star Wars.
You know, really, like, Luke and Leia,
no. It can't be spoiled.
Those aren't spoilers, it's just...
It's you just... know how Luke and Leia are twins, and then doesn't Ezra...
Don't even go there.
Wait, oh my god, Star Wars comparison.
Wait,
cast
so
part
are you,
two.
Are you shipping Destiny? Are you
that
going is that the conclusion?
No,
why would you do that?
The point I was trying to make is I felt like it was from the one scene we have is a similar relationship which is going on there. Which, yeah, obviously it's about power because that's like the deal with most of the villains in this. But I think it's more. A bit more interesting than just saying, oh, it's just about power. Like, I'd like to see the relationship between those two.
Yeah, so
we see it more.
So Unalaq's motivations are unclear at the moment. I think that's pretty apparent. Which is frustrating to see him be evil without knowing why he's being evil.
Yeah.
And also I think this was
Varric's being all awesome.
Varric's being all awesome. I think that this was my least favorite part of the episode because it's like so blatant that they're trying to make him appear evil. It's just not done very well. It's like, I don't care, just bend.
Like, I understand, are they doing this because, like, they want Varric to seem, like, even more clever as a villain? Or, like, I don't understand, they can make them both be really clever and different, but, like, I thought that's how it was gonna be. For now, it's like, Varric's gonna be, like, maybe different.
I don't know if they're comparing the two. Like, I don't know if they're trying to compare
the two. I just feel like we have a lot going on. Which, like, I'm still kind of worried about how we're going to get this all wrapped up, because there's a bunch of stuff going on this season, and they do not have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, like, Unalaq, and we're like, we really don't even know what his deal is right now, aside from, like, him, like, he's obviously motivated by power, but is it that just really it? Because if that is, that's really lame in comparison to Varric, who seems to have a lot more depth to whatever the heck he's doing.
Yeah, I'm not convinced Varric is going to have a significant role in the end game of this.
I just don't see, like, why they have both of these characters if, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
well,
if you're going to have
a
really awesome villain.
I think we should give them the benefit of the doubt for now. But I agree. They need to handle this well. But back to what I was saying with Unalaq, it's just such a blatant... portrayal of quote-unquote evil. Mike and Brian are big about there being multiple sides to things, and this is just like he's
it's going back
evil.
To Ozai.
Yeah, and also I think just he was being very irrationally evil. Like, the portal's not going anywhere. You can, like, take a minute to heal Destin, and then you can go back to bending the portal.
I go back to, like, Core and them being really frantic. Harmonic convergence is almost here!
But it's, like, it's weeks away. Like, they're not even,
and
like, it's
in
a day.
And then he thought the Avatar was dead. And that's another thing I was confused about, because, like, yeah, well, the Avatar dies unless you use the Avatar state.
Yeah, so Varric didn't, or not Varric, Unalaq didn't know this, so maybe that tells us something about what's going to happen. Like, he wasn't omniscient about that. He's not controlling spirits, right? The spirits aren't telling him this. Maybe this means he's not a spirit, maybe this means he's not being controlled by the spirits.
Sure.
Okay. Next. Torture. Okay, so this is my favorite. I actually like kind of love this.
That was me.
Like, Mako's like brought
the
into
lighting
the
lighting was perfect.
Mako's like bought into the bad guy, and the first thing he says is, "Torture me all you want. I'm not gonna talk." Like, okay, Mako.
It's like, really, Mako?
You've been watching too many movies, right?
You've been watching too many cop movies.
No, but like, why would he torture him in like a fire thing when he can?
Firebender. Oh my god, I just realized that.
That's just the next
thing. I'm not going to talk. What are you going to talk about? I mean,
the weather.
Yeah, tell him about himself. Like, oh my god.
Yeah, like, he acted like he had all these secrets. Yeah, like, if Varric knows, you know, Mako. What are you talking about?
I think they are I actually really like how they're doing this.
I think they're making fun of, like, the whole, like, bad guy gets the good guy kind of, like, makes, like, the I think they're making fun of it because, like, everything Beric's campy, but...
I think more in general, like, it's like Mako thinks he's this rogue cop figure.
He thinks he's a hero.
They're, like, not, like, very subtly, but they're, like, not overtly... subverting this notion of Mako's, and I really like how they're doing
Mako,
it.
Mako, you're not.
That'd be really clever. I hope that's what they're going for.
I think it is. Like, I think they're just being quiet, like, quietly doing this, which I like.
Like, Mako, you need to calm down a little bit.
Yeah, like, this is maybe my favorite part of the episode.
It's kind
of
like the stress getting to him.
Yeah.
Mako's actually losing his mind.
Yeah, I don't know about losing his mind.
Maybe he's like the star of his own little, like...
Yeah, like, he thinks of himself as higher than he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think is interesting. Like, I don't...
Which is understandable from what he's going through and, like, what he's trying to solve. Like, it makes sense that he's cast himself as his hero.
He's, like, actually somewhat sympathetic while also being completely misguided from our point of view.
Yes.
Which is cool. Like, I think this portrayal is really good, which surprises me, honestly, that they're portraying him this way. And then Varric starts, less done well is Varric's threatening of Asami and Bolin.
The worst part was Mako's response.
Mako just doesn't carry.
Well, like, does he not realize he's, like, being threatened? Like, Mako, what are you
doing? He's threatening to kill them.
That was what I was gonna say. Like, I didn't have a problem with Varric's threatening, I had a problem with Mako's response, because he was like, nah, no.
Well, he just does, he's kind of dense and not...
Yeah, so, like, are you just being stupid,
Mako?
That's
why I'm saying, like, he's an idiot. Like,
he's just fine. He could be an idiot. Bolin's an idiot.
Or he's a bad cop. Or both.
Well, he's a bad cop. I think Varric's threatening was, like, I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't bad, like, but it wasn't good.
Like, I feel like I expect a little more from that character than just blatant, like...
Yeah.
He's
been so clever thus far, and, like, so this is kind of, like, dropping down a few levels.
Yeah.
The only thing I don't like about Varric now is that every time we see him, he's, like, in a chair turning around with cats. Like, Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. Yeah. Like, Sue.
Yeah.
He needs to be a cat, and he needs to have a cat and start, like, petting it.
Oh, it should be noted, I think they continue to balance Varric's...
And it should be a regular cat.
...humor with his dark side well, like, in the scene, him walking over the coals. I thought that was
really
fun. Like,
it was good.
Like, I really just think the Varric characterization is the best part of this season.
If he gets a cat, though, he needs to just have a cat, not even, like, a hybrid animal.
Dude,
he needs to have, like, a really ridiculous name.
Miyuki?
Miyuki was just a cat.
But she's dead.
Okay, I'm not saying specifically Miyuki.
Allie, there are probably other cats.
I don't think he was the last cat.
I'm saying there are just cats.
Miyuki.
The last cat. By the way, if you're not aware, Miyuki is the best character in the show. Okay, continuing
According
on.
According to Dylan, anyway.
Continuing on. Jonor and Korra are talking on Oogie, I think. I don't know if they're like going somewhere, right? I don't know.
They're following the
bomb. They're going to where Jonora said she needs to take Korra.
Okay. And Jonora talks about the statue stuff, finally resolving a cliffhanger from episode 2, right? Or 3?
Like, No.
I didn't think that even needed to be resolved.
I think it needs to be resolved.
I thought it was a waste.
It's too late. Like,
a waste of 5 minutes.
Well, I thought it was fine. And then I like them both saying "whoa" at the same time.
I thought that was really stupid.
No, I thought
the whole
scene
was dumb.
No.
Okay, she said that she's like the Avatar's part spirit. Like, how do you think she can get to the spirit world,
dude? That was.
We knew that already.
No, we didn't. That wasn't.
Yes,
clear.
We did.
That wasn't.
Mel and I were talking about this earlier. We all knew that.
Dude, that wasn't explicit. No, it was.
It definitely was.
Yeah.
Also, Janora's not us, and she hasn't.
Mel,
read the,
you're doing
she
a bad job of
watching
the
original
here.
Series.
For the record, I had the major issue with "whoa."
No, I like the "whoa." Come on.
It just sounded stupid.
No,
like, I don't
like
know.
It. Okay, but
it exists.
Oh, dude.
Let's just put it that
whoa.
Way.
Whoa, yeah, whoa. And
I just felt like the scene on Oogie was like it just lasted a lot longer than it needed to.
I don't know. Ancient Airbender meditation circle. Spiritual
the
cleansing.
The 18th time they've said ancient.
Yeah.
My question about ancient, do they mean legitimately ancient, like 10,000 years ago ancient, or do they mean, like, just before they were all wiped out? Like, I was just wondering about
that. No, it's, like, just over, it's, like, 171 years ago, right?
Who cares?
It's, like, just before.
What?
No, well, 70 years since the original series, and that was 100 years since the Airbenders have wiped the night.
Okay. Like, I'd be fine if it was, like, a midway between, like, really ancient and then, like, but I was just, like, can we stop saying ancient? Be a little bit more specific?
When Tenzin says ancient, he means 171 years old. Specifically.
We're just like, really?
Then there's airbending stuff. I don't know what that means. Oh, they're trying to, like, cleanse it, and then the spirit bats come out, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. And that's when Bumi said his lines, which I thought didn't work. What did you think of Bumi with Boomjoom? Did you like the whole
Unnecessary.
Thing? Unnecessary. Do you think it was funny?
No.
I didn't think it was funny, but it didn't bother me. It just
didn't bother me, but like it wasn't. It didn't do anything.
Wait, I have a question. I missed this part. Why was it called Boomjoom?
Bumi Jr.
Oh, it's short for Bumi Jr.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
I thought that was entertaining, yes. The name was great.
Yeah, I think this was like, in previous episodes, this would have been more of a laugh-out-loud moment. In this episode, it was just like that's amusing, right?
It didn't care.
It literally didn't do anything for me.
Bumi wasn't on top of his game. That's fine. He can't be funny all the time.
Yeah, he can't be on all the time, right?
Sokka was...
Sokka had his down moments, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Then there's Spirit Bats coming out. And I was like, spirit bats, and then there was a commercial break. And then they came back, and it was like, no, it's not bats, they're dark spirits. I'm like, oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, I didn't get, like, I was like, okay, so dark spirits just magically turn into the same thing.
See, I missed this again because the camera fell down, so someone tell me what happened.
I thought it was dark spirit bats. Like, that wouldn't bother me, but I was just sort of like, why did they all become bats?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it because Halloween was yesterday? Like, what was the need for the bats?
I don't think that was why.
That's definitely why.
I also,
what
was I going to say? I don't think they've explained the whole concept of dark spirits that well. Like, we
saw them a little bit.
We kind of see it in beginnings with it's like Vatu's influence, but is Vatu even influencing them? Why are they even there? Like, we'll see. I guess they'll explain it later.
Also, what was the point of the cavern? Like, is that like you drop through it down the rabbit hole into the spirit world? Like
down the rabbit hole? Oh, no.
No, you just
like why were the bats? Like I just didn't. Why were the bats? Just were they trapped there for a really long time? Like I'd be mad if I was trapped there for a really long time. But
I don't know. And so then Korra does her.
I thought that was unnecessary.
Korra does the scene from the trailer. Spirit bends, then makes fireworks, and the place gets magically cleaned up when she gets rid of the things, which was weird.
Which makes sense because water is cleansing.
I guess. Yeah. Sorry, that was a cough and a laugh combination. So Korra apologizes to Tenzin. Mel, what are your thoughts on this, Mel?
On the apology
Korra
thing?
Korra apologizing, yeah.
That says it all.
Yeah, I'm the same. You can skip over me.
As I've said before, I don't think Korra was doing anything wrong with saying that she wants to be taught by someone else, just because, obviously we as the audience get a bad vibe from him, and his design was obviously supposed to be villain. Thing is, you know, as I've said before, Tenzin and Tanrock, like, just completely monopolized her training her entire life and lied to her about it. The fact that they lied about it proves that they knew what they were doing was wrong. So I don't think she should be apologizing to him, but
I agree with you.
It happens.
I didn't think it was necessary.
Yeah,
like I just felt it was kind of awkward too.
So I think the main problem with this is that Korra didn't do anything wrong, right? And portraying her apologizing like this, and like this is supposed to be a cathartic moment for Korra's character, shows that it's like, oh, you have to as a female, you have to. You can't defy the male figures in your life.
Well, I think it would have been better if she had been more of like I've missed you or I've needed you, like not like I've needed you, but you know what I mean. Like they could have spun it a little bit different, like because
obviously they don't say that, but like I think that's the impression the impression you get from this.
Well, I mean, I don't think that's okay, but I think it should, like, if they'd spun it more like, I've missed you, you know, kind of like, you know, you're my mentor and that
like
kind of thing.
Like a personal relationship.
Yeah, as opposed to
that
like.
That could have been okay, but. I just think overall though, Korra has now apologized to her father and Tenzin for not doing anything wrong. I just think this is not good from a gender roles and stuff perspective.
Are we even watching the same show anymore?
What?
Do you have a disagreement, Sam?
Yeah, what?
No. I'm just thinking, like, it was so long ago from when we were in the South Pole.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
And it's just, I don't care.
Okay, that's good. then they hug. There's lots of hugging this episode. There's another hug later.
Good. I'm glad. Hugs are good.
Well, if you think about it, like, what's Tenzin and Korra's relation? Like, they're not, like, familiarly related.
Pupil.
Like, it's kind of
weird mixture of, you know, master-student and sort of a paternal relationship.
Yeah.
And it's weird that
and,
I mean,
yeah, and at the same,
it's like when you call your teacher mom,
and also there's like no authoritative role really. Even
Tenzin's an awkward mom,
even though
Tenzin's just really awkward.
Even though Tenzin's like
he's a gangly little
you know,
thing,
like he's like the mentor. Like it's not like he's like obviously like the authoritative figure. Like it's
got like all the awkwardness of Aang, and like that's all he is. He's just all the awkward that was Aang. Like,
but none of season. But none of the smooth part of season three Aang, right?
Yeah, he's just like awkward Aang.
I like that explanation. So then we have Kissy Kissy, which is so we have.
You stole that from me. I said that the other day,
dude. I did not steal that from you.
Yeah, you did.
Dude, no, okay.
Sam was the first person ever in the history of the universe to say.
say kissy kissy.
We need to do
this.
Counter.
Is the Mako Asami kiss? What were you raging when you saw this? Anyone upset?
Hi.
It's just
Allie. Why are you upset?
Because I hate that they're just making her like. They're pushing her back so far. Like, I mean, it's not.
Well,
even,
why is
like,
this pushing back?
Are you gonna cry about this?
You know, I might.
Why is this pushing her back though?
I don't. Because. He's just after, especially after what happened. Like, why go to him?
Right.
And like, why?
So it's her. It's like she can do what she wants, right? So
it's yeah.
Obviously, but, like from our perspective, especially us on the podcast, like Mako is a giant D. So like, he's not. Like we're not.
So we're allowed to say that on.
Oh my god, I'm using that.
It means I don't know what it stands for. Don't worry, children. It doesn't.
Dog.
It means dog. Yeah. So like.
No.
So like, obviously, like we think she shouldn't go back to him, but like he's like she has feelings for him. She has no one in her life right now, and like she finds him attractive. Like they all, it's
a lonely life.
Yeah, it makes it's fine. Like
it's
not great for her, but what else is she
that's
gonna
what
do?
I'm
right?
Saying. It's not even
she's
the fact
an
that
adult.
She can do what she wants. Honestly, if she thinks this is what's right, like.
I hate that they're doing that to her because, like, it makes her seem like she needs to rely on a guy.
A little bit, yeah. I agree.
Not a little bit. Like, it does do that.
Yeah.
And that's what pisses
me off. See, I think if you look, I think maybe some people take it like that. I don't think that's the way you should take it. I think it's just she needs just someone in her life, right?
But I mean.
And it's like, maybe if Korra was there, then they could be BFFs.
I really wish that would have happened. Like, that's half of the reason why I'm upset. But
yeah,
I don't think Korra is very good with feelings.
Yeah, so. I agree. It's like, honestly, everyone in the show is kind of inept with feelings. So.
They are. Everyone's like,
who's
going to.
They're the land of misfit toys,
who's,
and it's just like, you guys are.
Who's Asami going to talk to about this?
Korra! If she was there.
Korra's.
Allie, that'd be like me talking to you about my feelings.
Wow, thanks.
It's just because you are Korra. That's okay.
That's
oh, wouldn't wow. Work. Thanks. That makes me feel silly.
No, I meant like you sound like her. That sounded bad.
No,
anyway.
Remember that one time that Sam.
You remember that one time we're not going to talk about it because
and Janet Varney
I'm still very upset
it
about it.
She said she thought it was adorable.
Yeah, Janet Varney. We actually discussed that on the podcast once, so that's good.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Was I there for it?
I don't.
No.
Were you? I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
Arresting Mako, which I thought was fun. I like arresting.
Mel thinks
I like arresting Mako. That's a fun activity.
What did you say?
What did I say? It was exactly like the Titanic.
Oh yeah, it was like the Titanic when they put the diamond in Jack's jacket, and
oh my god,
that's
it was
weird,
like
Jack's jacket. And it like literally same exact scene. So.
Allie, I mean like, I mean like we don't like Mako, so let's get him out of the way, right? That's
no,
that's
I
what
know.
I, okay.
I don't like those two guys.
So it's the guy's like, hey, Mako again, which I thought is funny. And then I like this perspective, this scene from the perspective of we didn't see it coming. Like they didn't tell straight it to us that Varric had planted this stuff on Mako.
I think it was Bolin.
What do you mean?
Because he moved out.
Really?
Because Bolin moved out, and I feel like
I don't think Bolin would make such a deal.
Like I don't think he did it on purpose. Like
because
Bolin's really clueless.
You don't think this is Varric? You just think Bolin left behind money?
Okay, no, I don't think. Okay, what I think happened is like Varric told Bolin like, "Hey, take this stuff." And he just, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think...
Oh,
like,
I see what you're saying. Okay.
But they're not like, living together anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he left his stuff... Like, you know, there's boxes everywhere.
I don't know if that works with the timeline. Like,
yeah.
Like, Bolin's already moved out, so why would he take his... Why would he take it back to Mako's?
Well, I didn't mean, like, I just meant, like, that, like, that's how that worked. Like, it got left. Like, it's been there for a while.
Okay. So it wasn't like Varric taking... It wasn't Varric taking action against Mako. It was just...
like, not immediate... Okay, like, I don't think it was immediate, but I feel like... I mean, I don't think... Like,
I think this is supposed to be Varric taking action against Mako.
And I think he did it through Bolin, like, not without Bolin knowing.
I think this is intentional after...
Because how did he get into
the
apartment? Like, I feel like Mako being a cop would have noticed that someone broke into his apartment.
Well, he's obviously not as good as a cop as we thought.
He's a very...
Yeah.
stupid.
So I don't know if the scene was particularly good, but I like that it's something that they didn't give us.
I thought it was too obvious of a scene.
Yeah.
It's happened before many times and many different things.
I think you can anticipate it, but they didn't show Varric doing it, which like is the main point here to me.
Like as a good thing or a bad
thing?
That's
a good thing because everything else in the show is very obviously obviously portrayed.
Like this is a trope. I don't know what
sure,
it is.
Like, sure, it's a trope, but it's not one. I wasn't like, oh, after Varric and Mako had their talk, I'm like, oh, I know exactly what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
it wasn't like that, which I thought is yeah. Good.
Like I didn't expect Varric to like frame him, but I wasn't surprised it happened.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah,
so.
Same.
I mean, it makes sense in the episode, obviously.
And can they stop using Lynn as a device? I want her to be a person.
Yeah, I agree.
She's like, they were like, oh, she's going to be a big part in book two, not...
Don't lie.
Who's in book three?
They said book three, yeah.
Just kidding. Better. Okay, well, I hope she's going to be a person in book three.
Yeah,
well,
I want Lynn in talk
Brian specifically said Lynn will not be in much in book two.
Oh, well, I was not paying attention.
Yeah, she's just a plot device.
Like the last several months, yeah. But,
oh, wow, okay.
So then we have Poking Tenzin. I don't remember who is Poking Tenzin, but...
Boomy.
Okay. Who else?
I thought that was
I like how mad he got and, like, flung the stick. Like, that was a beautiful piece of, like, airbending and just hilarious.
He could have hit someone. He wasn't looking. He was just impaled.
He's a mom. He has eyes in the back of his head, remember?
So then we have, Who says it's not your destiny? Is that, Kaya?
Yeah.
So this is more of the whole
like
destiny
slow your roll
spiritual stuff, and I don't care. I don't like
slow
it.
Slow down, Maurice.
Why?
Slow down, Maurice.
Okay, don't just laugh at the reference. Let's understand why she's saying it. Okay, never mind. So
I just thought it was really Avatar-y, but then it kind of goes into like
raving.
Well, Kaya's like a hippie, remember? It makes sense.
So I guess Kaya to be safe. Okay, you two need to stop.
I'm sorry.
That's why we need to the hot box set.
That's not my fault. So
yes, it is.
No. But I don't know.
But that's a really good segue for that Disney reference.
Holy moly! Okay, so this.
Oh my god! What the?
I like never say that phrase. That was me censoring.
That was weird.
That was me censoring myself. So yeah.
Holy moly!
You can't.
Holy moly! That's how I say "Jeez Louise."
You can't. I don't even remember what my point is here. I just don't like that. How do you think it was portrayed with Tenzin handling this? Like, obviously, one of you I forget in the beginning. One of you thought Tenzin was being a bad dad.
Ooh.
I thought it was Ellie or Mel. Yeah. I don't remember.
I just think he was being out of character, kind of.
Tenzin during this episode in the deal with Jenora is that he was kind of acting like a child, which I guess I understand because you know he's always about impressing Aang and living up to Aang, but you know when he found out it's not supposed to be you, it's supposed to be someone else, he reacted kind of in a childish way. I mean, he was trying, you know, he's in his head like, no, I'm being logical, you know, I'm the one who studied and researched, but you know, in reality I think he was just jealous and upset that it, well, not I think, it's obvious that he's jealous and upset that it wasn't him, and you know, he kind of it acted a little bit childish about it until everyone was like, no, stop.
This isn't the usual portrayal of dad, right, in a show. So it's interesting. Like, I kind of like how Tenzin's shown here.
I don't know if I like it or not, because kind of it... I don't want to be like, it kind of, like, shows that Aang was, like, putting too much pressure on him and being, like, not, like... I don't want to say being a bad dad, but it seems like they were making it feel like Aang put too much pressure on him and like he was just like obsessed with like making his dad like proud because like Aang wanted it to happen so badly or something. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that, honestly.
So it kind of makes me weirded out. I don't know. I feel like Aang's not the kind of person who would do that, but mm-hmm. It makes it seem like he is.
Tenzin's obviously got some problems, right? So
yeah.
I don't know.
Which I think I like that they showed it because like we don't like because
yeah,
they focused on the whole thing about his my voice cracked anyway about the whole he's like the struggle like he like the dad because the whole Kaya Boomy like that whole nonsense. So I kind of like how they did this because it's kind of continuing it but in a different way and how like they all have issues as opposed to the adults because usually adults in the show are like the perfect ones, they're the ones with like you're supposed to look up to. So I really like that they're kind of doing this. Like, kind of gives teens some more depth.
I should say
it's not like I like didn't like that they did it. It's just that it happened, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I should say that I like that they're showing Tenzin's vulnerabilities in front of his kids.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really interesting.
But he's adult enough to say that he's proud of Jenora, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Jenora, I like how Jenora then handles it. Like, there's maturity on all sides. Like, I think this is a really interesting point in...
It's a nice dynamic.
It's a nice dynamic that we don't usually see in real life or in television.
Yeah, like you said before, like, about her having, like, showing her self-confidence. Like, I was surprised that, like, something like that happened. And she's how old?
She's like, 10. And she,
like, even, like, at that young an age.
Yeah, she handles, like her father, like, acting like this, and also her self-confidence. Like, yeah.
I thought that was impressive.
I agree. And I think it was not necessarily, it's unrealistic from the fact that we don't really see this in real life, but I think it's not unrealistic from a logical
but
perspective.
But then they did approach it a little bit about her kind of being like, when she's like, Dad's angry at me. Yeah, so, like, they did have that in
it
there.
It was more, but it was more of just her realizing that Dad's angry. But she wasn't, like, super emotionally affected by that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Well, Jenora's kind of chill.
Jenora's pretty chill, yeah. Which we don't necessarily, I mean, I don't know, how much emotion have we seen from Jenora, right? Not that much.
We haven't seen her
a lot. We haven't seen much,
and Iki's crazy, so it's hard to, like, gauge.
At the start of the next episode, we'll see her being happy, but, like, other than that, we haven't.
When she runs down the hill or whatever.
So, yeah, they showed this at New York Comic Con. They had, like, her being like, yay, spirits, is how the next episode's gonna start.
Yeah, Korra's like, wait!
Korra's gonna be the mom of the,
which will be hilarious.
Yeah, I think that'll be pretty funny. And then hug. Yeah, this is Jenora and Tenzin hug. Tenzin gets a lot of hug action in this episode.
Oh, that was a weird way to describe it, but okay.
That's not
That's nice. Just for, I like hugging.
I think it's okay.
Hugs are good. Yay. Okay, continue. Going into the spirit world scene. Oh, well, this is the end. Okay. So, yeah, I retract my previous statement. This is the best.
Wait,
this is the best.
You forgot the best line.
What it is best?
Oh, God.
Will, like, was it, like, protect or watch your bodies? Or
why is that the best line?
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Why do you think?
Because it's good.
I liked it. I get where you're coming from.
Explain more? I don't understand.
I don't know.
This is Sam's TVY7.
Saying some things that she should just let be.
What?
That's TVY7, you guys.
Keep your body safe. I like that. That's nice.
I don't really get what you guys are saying, but okay.
Well, I just think it's nice. I mean, it's not necessarily like there's anything like super profound about it, but I liked the lines.
It's funny.
Other than it being reminiscent of Katara watching Aang's body. And I don't think that's actually what you guys are saying.
Well, I just like that they made a point to say something about it.
Did you say Asami?
I said it's
Asami. Oh my goodness. Stop hearing Asami.
She is Korra. She's obsessed.
Yeah, exactly.
You cough, and from three rooms down, Ali busted.
Is this Asami?
Okay, so we see the scene we saw from the trailer. I really wish this wasn't in the trailer, because this is such a cool scene, but we don't care because we've seen it so many times. Jenora and Korra transitioning into the spirit world, and we see the background change around them, which is really cool.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
No thoughts on that. Thanks, guys. I don't know.
It was like super bright. Like, I was like, I'm going blind.
I really like I think that's a really cool
camera
scene.
Fell down again.
Artistically, just everything like is cool. I guess I don't like how quickly they went into the spirit world after all this waiting the entire time.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
it was really annoying.
The magic key of Jenora is here, so now
maybe it was like a kick in the face to Tenzin, and you suck, Tenzin.
Yeah, really. It was like a big like,
suck. You're like 50 and your daughter's 10.
Like, it took the whole day and he couldn't even do it, and it took Jenora like 5 seconds.
It's Scooby Doo. Like, this is actually Scooby Doo.
Yeah. And then the last scene we see is Unalaq talking to Batu.
Okay, did I just miss the part? Oh, sorry, like, because, you know, the craziness that happened in my house. Did I miss you guys talking about, like, Eska and them getting, like, when Desna got injured?
Oh, well, we didn't talk about Eska's reaction.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, we talked about Unalaq.
That's, like, the most important part of the episode.
So, Eska is caring for her brother. So, I don't know. I felt like this was in character.
Aubrey Plaza.
I feel like it was just in character. I didn't think it was, like, in or out. I just thought it was, like, weird.
We just haven't seen anything, and I liked it.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I liked it, but it was, like, what is happening?
I love how she just nonchalantly disobeys her dad. Like, I don't even care. Gets up and leaves. Like, I loved it. She's like, eh, don't care. Like, she didn't say anything to her dad or anything. Just,
I'm surprised he didn't turn around and be like, what are you doing? Come back here.
Yeah,
he was
exactly.
Just like, eh, yeah, spirit.
This relationship is very dysfunctional. They don't seem to care about each other, like the children and the parent. So it's like there's something there, but I don't think this episode gave the impression that they're Destin and Eska are spirits. I do think there's something we're going to see, though, with their backstory.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully.
It's interesting. Okay.
That was a dumb theory.
I just hope they don't cookie cutter it the same, or make it the same as Noah Talk and all that junk.
I mean, major villain's already from the Northern Water Tribe, so, you know.
They're like, can we try and, like, tone it down?
We try and make a different character this time.
Well, yes. I'm sure they will, but yeah. Unalaq's not very defined at the moment, which is a problem, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, they're probably going to define him more, hopefully, at least.
I just hope they don't do it the same way, like you know, with Amon, it was like, yeah. Oh, whatever, or like, okay, all of a sudden this stuff, it was cool. But then, if they do it now, it'll be like, really, we're just going to solve everything with, like, a flashback?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, so I know we need a flashback, but, like, I don't know.
So we'll see.
I don't think we need a flashback of him.
We just need some sort of explanation. Yeah. Even just a little bit of dialogue would be okay.
Something down the road. So then Unalaq talking to Vatu. Vatu's like, the Avatar still lives, and yeah. I don't know.
But like, was Korra in the Avatar state when the beast swallowed her?
No. She wasn't.
No, yeah.
Okay, because here's my thing. She's not, like, the Avatar, yes, Korra died, but the Avatar doesn't die. Rava never actually dies because that's how the whole cycle works. So, of course, he'd sense her.
Korra in the Avatar state. Yeah, I think she was, wasn't she?
Okay, because
no, she wasn't.
She didn't die, though.
See, I was so confused.
She wasn't in the Avatar
my
state.
My thing, though, is, like, of course, like, my big thing, though, is, like, I just thought that was really weird because he's like, I still sense Rava. Like, you're always going to sense Rava unless they die in the Avatar state because that kills the spirit and the Avatar.
Yeah, interesting. That's an interesting
Other
point.
Than that, though, it's like she's still gonna be alive.
Anyway. Okay. So how do you like this them revealing now that Unalaq is working with Vatu? I like that they're getting it out of the way because it was very obvious after Beginnings.
I'm just kind of surprised they did it at the end. I thought it would be like more established at the beginning of the episode.
I'm always a big fan of getting things out of the way that you make apparent. This relates. I talked about this in my review of The Search Part 3. I'm not going to say anything more than that, but it's always good if you telegraph a plot point to get it out of the way early, because there's no suspense there anymore. And this is the same thing with Unalaq and Vatu, and even Korra says it in the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
So I think they just wanted to have this as the last scene, because it's like, we see Vatu again, and we start to see everything, and it's like, it's intense and stuff. Any more, you know, more comments on them or this scene?
I mean, that was one of the few scenes I liked in it.
Yes, Sam.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so...
at least not with the lady.
So, we talked about Unalaq being evil, we talked about spirit world logic, we talked about how Varric and Mako are handled, and, like, General Sam. So those are the things I want to talk about. So, yeah. Any more specific comments about the episode?
I didn't like it.
We'll talk about the animation. Oh, I liked the animation.
So I think my big problem with the animation this episode is that Jenora's character model looked very off.
It was
off.
Weird.
Yeah, she looked very off.
So was
really?
Korra's.
I didn't notice.
Jenora's face
Mako's
was just
Mako's
not...
was off. Bolin's was off.
Well, specifically, we hadn't seen Jenora that much. So
Bolin's eyes are so ridiculously bright. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the last episode of
he's
Studio.
He's a precious.
Everyone's
producer.
Models are off.
Yeah.
The last episode like of it. Studio Perot. Next episode, Mir will be. Let's get into the grading for this. So we're going to rate this episode out of 10. 5 is an average episode of television, and 10 is the best episode of TV ever. Last week, you guys were very positive, or 2 weeks ago, on Beginnings. 50% of you gave it a 10 out of 10, and the other 50% were distributed exclusively between 9 and 8. So, yeah, so I mean,
that's really generous.
I gave it an 8.5 for both parts, which, so that's like,
that's still pretty generous
for Beginnings. Like, that was really good. I don't know.
I mean, but it was like not Korra, it was Juan.
So
it's like different.
Whatever. So yeah, give me your thoughts on this episode overall and give me a grade. Let's start with Mel.
Not my favorite, but not ridiculously awful. So,
well,
I'm gonna say 6.8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good job. Thumbs up. Delaney.
Pretty, like, I agree with Mel. Like, it wasn't, like, terrible, but, I mean, there were some issues with it, like just the dialogue, and I didn't really dislike the animation, so that wasn't really a factor for me. I mean, I didn't hate it, didn't really like it, though I do enjoy Jinora, because she's awesome. Mm-hmm. And Mako, like, I'm okay with Mako, the Masami doesn't bother me, so I'm just like, whatever. So I'll just give it, like, a 6.5. Just, it's fine.
Okay. Allie, what'd you think?
You guys are so generous. I'm gonna give it a 4.5 because nothing about it appealed to me. I really can't think of anything I liked. Can you let me finish, okay?
Nope.
Seriously, like, I mean, I didn't... Nothing, like, I can't find anything good about it. It's not like the animation was horrible, and I guess coming from beginnings with Studio Mir, I have to give it a little more, like, slack, but, like, it's still not good, and, like, the writing and everything just wasn't good.
I think given that you didn't like anything particularly, I think that's a fair grade.
Yeah. So, 4.5. That's the lowest rating I've ever given an episode, I think. It's my least favorite.
Interesting. Sam?
I think I'll go lower than Allie.
Ooh.
And give
Whoa.
It a...
Whoa!
Wait, what are you giving
no.
up?
Let
it's me a co- say lot it. Of competition.
I'll give it a 3.5.
A 3, really?
Yeah. I feel
what,
like...
What was the episode you gave a 3 last time?
Yeah, you gave some other episode really low, but yeah, what? Why?
The Great Divide.
I feel like, Dylan, you said earlier, it feels like a setup episode, and that's what it is. It's just an episode to set everything up, and nothing really happens. Well, things happen, obviously. But they just don't go places in this episode, and I just don't care.
I don't care out of 10 it is. Okay, no.
Yeah.
You didn't actually give it that, but okay.
I can agree with all that.
No, you can't give it that.
I don't care out of 10. That's the perfect grade.
I don't know. Like I said earlier, this is a largely unoffensive. See, I did it again. There's nothing that I... The biggest plus of this is there's no scenes that I really hated. I'm going to give it a 6.
Wow.
The things that the episode I originally was going to give it a little bit higher, but the things that did well, I'm thinking about them, and they are not that much better than average television, right? So I want to give it somewhere in the realm of an average TV grade, slightly above average because it's Avatar, it's good, and I
feel like you use that excuse
just
too much.
It's Avatar, yeah.
Well,
just
in terms of enjoyment,
that's why I
gave
it a 6.5.
In terms of personal enjoyment, I would say not in terms of its Avatar, so it automatically gets higher points. But I guess I shouldn't have said that, right? So I enjoyed it more than an average episode of television. I like all the Jinora stuff. I like how they handled Mako actually at the end, and but that being said, I didn't think that was particularly strong. Like, the strongest thing wasn't that strong, so I think a 6 is a fair grade. I really hope this is the last time I have to be in that low of a range, because I'm not used to this for Avatar Core. So
yeah,
you haven't hit rock bottom yet.
Well, I mean, what was the lowest I grade I gave before? Yeah, I really didn't like episode 5. So,
what was episode 5 again?
We don't even remember. Who cares? No, obviously we
of this season,
like,
right?
Before beginnings, it doesn't matter what happened. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Honestly, I was talking.
Other than the sting
doesn't matter what happened in this episode, though. It was like build up.
Know. Anyway, so let's we'll take some of your opinions on this. Let's first the listeners from the Spirit World podcast, Audible has a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial. Just for, I think I'm supposed to say just for checking out their service. I forgot the line I'm supposed to say. But yeah, you get a free audiobook download. It's actually free if you cancel the trial after 14 days. And there's an app, and you can get it on your phone. It's great. And Delaney has a book to recommend to you.
All right. I read this. I finished it yesterday, so this is all fresh. So excuse the fangirliness. I finally picked up Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children by Ransom Riggs. It came out in 2011, got a bunch of, it was, on the bestsellers list, got a lot of awards, in 2012. And the sequel's coming out in January, which I'll get into later, but I think a lot of people have heard of this book, but they don't necessarily know what it's about. Everyone's going to be... So, the basis... Ransom Riggs is into, he has a lot of collector friends, and they have vintage photos. And a lot of them are, really weird, there's a girl levitating and all this stuff. So he pretty much wrote a book around all these weird pictures he found. Which, you're like, that sounds stupid, but it's not. It's genius. So it's about this, it's about peculiar children. They all have different gifts. And so they do, there's Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. And, but it's about this kid, and his grandfather was escaping, the Nazis. And, So, and it's like him like discovering, because his grandfather's been telling him all these stories, and when he was little, he really believed them, but then he gets older and he's like, oh, my grandfather's lying to me. And like, there's a big like rift, and then it's slowly him becoming to realize that these stories are real. And it's just Jacob's journey through like discovering the peculiar children. And like, it's really cool, and I don't want to like give anything away, because like, you keep, like, every time you flip a page, it's something new. And the pictures are in the book, so like, they'll be describing a picture, and you'll flip over, and there's the picture. And there's like, there's quite a few pictures. I don't know exactly how many, but there's quite a few. And so it just, it's just one of those books that you just can't put down, and you never know what's going to happen next. And I really, really enjoyed it. And the sequel, called Hollow City, is coming out January 14th, 2014. So I'm pumped.
Cool.
So everyone should read it. It's awesome.
Cool. So thanks, Delaney. You can check that out. You can get your free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/FTSW. And if you do that, you'll support the podcast, get a free audiobook. It's good for everyone. Yeah. So, okay. So, some feedback from you guys. So far, 3 people have voted on DF. 2 gave it a 6, 1 gave it a less than 5. So, and also on the forums, you guys are
on this one already.
Yeah, on the forums, you guys have been mostly not too thrilled so far. Bending Guy gave it a 6.75 out of 10.
Wow.
Talked about Alara Byrne, some other stuff. Anyway, so we have a voicemail to play from Nick, who sent it in before the podcast started. I'll talk about how you can get yours in, your thoughts on the current episode, but. Let's listen to Nick's thoughts on the episode.
What? Since when do we have this thing?
The amazing epic of the beginnings, the guide is a return to what we've come to expect from Book 2 of Korra. Fortunately, this is the last episode we have to tolerate until Studio Mirror is back for good. Bolin is once again pushed to the back burner as we go back to only an A and B plot. I'm interested in seeing the further character development of Eska as she breaks from her father. Varric's vague threats were really creepy, and I don't know how I feel about the apparently temporary return of Masami.
So yeah, thank you, Nick, for sending in your thoughts.
Was he the one who sent us the voicemail the last podcast?
No, different guy.
Okay.
But yeah, so
I didn't always do that thing. I've been gone longer than I thought.
Yeah, you haven't been there for voicemails, but yeah. So thank you, Nick. I think the Eska point is interesting. Like, he's thinks there's an interesting development for Eska. And other than that, he said a lot of stuff that weird.
Which is interesting because, like, Desna's the one we actually see, like, breaking away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's more obvious anyway. Yeah. I'm not saying he's wrong.
and, yeah, I know. I think I agree with pretty much all the stuff Nick is saying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Nick did a good thing and kept the voicemail to, like, 30 seconds, which is what you want to do if you want to send us your thoughts. So if you want, if you want to give us thoughts on the current episode, send it. You can go to domgoofing.net/podcast, click on the little thing that pops up on the right. If you want to get on the podcast, you have to give it to us before 9:30 Eastern. So that's when we start recording. So, yeah. And I already talked about the forum comments. No really emails to talk about. So let's quickly, before we start wrapping things up, give some predictions about what we're going to see next. So, like, obviously next episode, Korra and Jannora in the spirit world. We know the beginning scene of that. We'll see something happen, presumably at Republic City. But then we eventually need to see Harmonic Convergence, and then Harmonic Convergence presumably fail, given the finale titles. And, like, Vatu wins, and somehow they overcome Vatu at the end. So that's our general...
Well, you just, like, described pretty much what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, so that's very general. Like, there's a lot of stuff we need to figure out.
That's the thing, like,
it seems so predictable, and that makes me upset.
How does Varric fit into all this? We don't really know.
Yeah. And then we're not even sure about Unalaq.
Yeah, Unalaq too. Is Unalaq going to be the anti-Avatar, like everyone
probably
keeps
not.
Saying? Like,
is Tanrak and Senna going to come back? Like,
yeah, like,
where are all these
this
people?
Is the most popular theory right now, the anti-Avatar. Like,
I really feel like that's not going to happen.
The bending guy in the forums is championing this.
I think it'd be, like, ridiculous. Not like, it's not like it's a fun idea, but I feel
but it
like
it would be ridiculous.
Like, in the context of this season, it would be super ridiculous.
This show, it would be ridiculous. Like, I mean
they kind of dropped a bomb on us, though, in that the spirit world, or not the spirit world, the flashback episode with Juan.
Yes,
where,
true.
Well, all of it was kind of a bomb, but, you know, when Batu was like, oh, I'll see you again at the end of the world, and it's like, whoa. And then, you know, you bring in this idea of the anti-Avatar, and it kind of, you know, parallels biblical things, I think.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
it's
you know,
epic, but, like, I don't know, like, I don't know
it's
how
a little
I feel like it actually
overboard.
Happened.
Yeah, they need to calm down. It's not that bad. Pretty sure it's not that bad.
I'm totally seeing, like, and this is probably really obvious too, but like, we're gonna see this flip-flopping side, like, Desna and Esker are gonna be like, no, Dad, stop, and then Bolin's gonna be like with Varric and then really confused because he's Bolin. But I'm hoping for a really, like, character-defining moment for him, but I doubt it's gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen.
Oh, and I should say that we have the description for next week's episode. Korra enters the spirit world and struggles with the Avatar's relationship with the spirits, which I think is
wow.
I think that's that second part
shocker.
Is interesting. No, like,
shocker.
Struggles with the Avatar's relationship with the spirits, like,
I feel like that's gonna be interesting.
That's the
too.
Biggest twist you could ever
get.
Is that gonna be like, they're like, oh, you're the Avatar, you think you're like our god or something, I don't know,
yeah,
like,
it'll
what,
be interesting
what are they
like,
gonna do, is it because it's like, is it gonna be more about Rava? Like, I want them to bring Rava back into
me
it
too.
Because like because she's a really neat idea and like
I mean,
just feel
she's
like
always there
yeah she is.
I know
she,
like
we need to hear her voice
awesome.
Again
yeah
exactly
so I think there's a lot of big questions. What's gonna happen next episode? We don't know specifically. What does Knight of a Thousand Stars mean, and how are they gonna
it's gonna be a Knight of a Thousand Stars.
Okay, thank you. And how are they going to overcome?
They're going to reenact the lanterns.
How are they going to
no,
reenact
the lanterns?
How are they going to overcome Batu resurging and harmonic convergence? We don't know.
They're going to put him in a teapot.
The
that's
lanterns
prediction.
Are for you.
Batu's going to be in a teapot.
Well,
teapot
also presumably in like either the next week or the week after, Korra is going to somehow unwittingly open the northern portal, like Batu or
Unalaq.
That's my favorite plot device. Unwittingly,
Unalaq will like either force. Her, maybe Unalaq will bloodbend her doing it. Something's
gonna be like
happen.
Wand part two, like accident.
Something's gonna because you know, like the at the end of this episode, Vatu said that the Avatar is coming, so don't worry, we'll open the portal.
So
just chill here
you.
While we wait.
And we know,
like,
and we know, the, and we know the portal's probably gonna open because darkness falls after harmonic convergence. So
yeah,
so somehow Korra is gonna open it, and that'll be bad.
But then it'll
like
be
she
good.
Just like she trips and falls. Into
oh my god!
So there's gonna be some. We gotta have. I'm hoping for like one big twist. I don't know what it is.
Maybe Vatu like tricks her.
A twist. Yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen, but it's something's gonna happen. Hopefully.
I just don't want it to. Like, I know it's gonna be as predictable, but I want there to be little twists in it. Like, I'm okay with this overreaching plot that's kind of obvious if we have like some really interesting things in it.
And I mean, we're gonna have to spend an hour after harmonic convergence has failed, which I think is really interesting.
I would like to see this become not so much just simplified to good versus evil, light versus dark, which seems to be what's happening.
Area.
I'd like to see some gray area happening. I'd like to see some just something a little bit the spirit of darkness and chaos versus the spirit of balance
light
and light. Like, seriously?
Yeah. No, I agree. I would
really? And also, remember we talk about with when Vatu was fighting Juan, he kept talking about like your hatred, you keep fighting me, like it's just making me stronger. Think about Korra, like this is gonna be kind of epic, like because that's all Korra is.
Of all the avatars that could have been,
out of all of them, it had to be Korra. Like, gah.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing. It's sort of, you know, your own hatred and your own emotions gives this dark spirit power.
More Star Wars just references
the Freddy Krueger type thing. So
that episode is basically gonna be Star Wars.
Yes.
So this whole thing, we'll see. I don't know. Send us your thoughts on what you think is going to happen. Your thoughts on this episode at Don Bufang on Tumblr and Twitter. You can email us at dylan@donbufang.net, or you can send in voicemails right side of the page. If you send us an ask on Tumblr, if you want me to read on the podcast, please specify in the ask that you want this for the podcast, because there's a lot of people that follow our Tumblr account that don't listen to the podcast. So I don't know.
They should.
I know, and I do post it. Yeah. So, if you enjoyed today's podcast, consider donating to From the Spirit World. All donations go directly to supporting our podcast. You can donate by going to dongwufeng.net/podcast, our podcast page, and click on Donate at the top. And you can You think you can?
G-Man and Sierra.
Sierra donated last week. Thank you so much, Sierra.
Last
week's podcast wasn't like an episode discussion, so now everyone's gonna listen. But yeah.
Well, the whole point is that we have to keep saying their name over and over again.
Exactly. But yeah. Anyway,
you can
donate in any number of ways: bank, PayPal, whatever. Yeah. Are you gonna say you ship Gareth and?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
What they have in common is that
they donated to the podcast.
They both love the podcast.
So when we get more, it's just going to be like this massive polygamy.
Yeah, we'll start.
Oh my god.
When they get married.
Wait a minute. Well, I missed the beginning of this conversation.
We know nothing about these people, so I don't know why you're shipping them.
I ship Sierra and Gareth.
Okay, that's weird.
Make a ship name for them.
Anyway, I've been your main host, Dylan. Co-hosts have been Ali, Sam, Mel, Delaney. I created the podcast AJ. I host, I already said that, produce, edit. Techno directors, AJ, Kevin Kopa, Jeff. Musical credits to the Yoshida brothers, Jeremy Zuckerman and Luke Tripp. Logo and banner by Kevin Kopa. Dong Fang's owned by Jake. And Gareth and Sierra contributed to the podcast.
G-Man and Sierra Miss.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. If you want to know more about who we are, you can check out the podcast bios on dongbufango.com/podcast. Recently updated is Mel's bio, written by Sam.
Sam wrote it.
Because Sam is the queen of bios.
It's about 200% better now, no offense.
It's,
but
yeah, it's a great biography.
It's pretty
good. I need
good.
To see this now.
Anyway.
When Mel dies, I'm in charge of
She's doing all the funeral arrangements.
Specifically, like,
apparently. Yeah. I'm glad you trust me that much.
Anyway, so yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Send us thoughts, and next week we'll be discussing a new spiritual age. Maybe my most anticipated Core episode ever. Like, I really want to see Core and Jinora in the spirit world.
Yes, same.
Super looking forward. Probably more than beginning.
Watch it be the most disappointing thing.
I know.
No, don't ruin it.
You don't want high expectations, but like this one's going to be awesome.
Well, I had really high expectations for beginning.
And Wan Chi Pong next episode, right? Probably.
He knows 10,000 things.
Oh, I'm so excited, Dylan, that you mentioned that.
Probably next episode, maybe the one after. We'll see how long they're actually in the spirit world for. But
they're still following the bunnies when they see Wan Chi Tong, so.
Oh, probably.
Next week is two episodes, right?
No, next week is one episode, then the last 2 weeks are two episodes each.
Oh, I just can't read. Okay. Yeah. That's what that was. Yeah.
So it'll be exciting. We're in the home stretch. And I should say that after Core ends, we got a bunch of more topics lined up for you. Podcast will continue.
Harry Potter 5-7.
No. Not we'll go back to minicast probably eventually. But for now, I have several main casts.
There's 7 parts of the
there
Harry Potter
are 7.
Stuff.
We've been through 3 it's of them, sad. I think. Right?
We have a lot.
We've done 3 so far, I think. And
my
anyway.
Baby.
I don't have
that
any
anyway.
About
yeah.
It.
Any last thoughts on the guide or anything else?
Okay,
titled terribly.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
I missed.
Has nothing to do with anything.
The guide, the person to guide them.
Yes. Yeah, the guide her into this.
But like,
she didn't
no.
really do anything. But
they
that's
went
fine.
Into the spirit world at the end of. The
but no,
or is it really the giant bunny?
The Boon June is the.
Oh yeah, Boon June is
the guide.
Boon June slash,
actually the guide.
What does Jinora call
oh my
it?
God.
Fluffy or furry? What is? What does she call it?
I forgot.
Fluffy, I don't really care.
Furry foot. Okay.
There we
that's
go.
That's who she's. It seems like that's who she's riding on when she goes into see Wan Chi Tong, right?
Yes, that's what I was thinking when I first saw it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also, I missed this part because like the drama going on in my house, but like, okay, it turned into an episode of Cops when Mako gets dragged out in a wife beater. Like
on
this
episode of Cops.
This is necessary? No.
This guy thinks he can pull one over on me.
Oh my God, stop. I was so upset.
Of course you watch Cops. No. Mako would
watch Cops.
I'm not insulting. I'm just saying like not anyway. Mako would be the guy that gets arrested on Cops.
If it's ridiculous, he would be, yeah. But it was ridiculous.
Anyway.
I was like, is this really necessary?
Anyway,
God, Lynn, let him put on his shirt, like, come on.
No, he wanted to walk out like that. He's showing off, right?
God.
That was my favorite part about that whole kiss situation, though, is that he opens the door in the little tank, or do you call them tank tops for guys? Is that appropriate?
Bro tank is what I've heard.
I don't like saying wife beater, and I've heard that before, but the point is, he's wearing, you know, a tank top, and it's like, all right, well... That's fine. You too.
I get it.
Also, it's the same ripped one he's had
God,
season one.
Yeah, that's what, I mean, we wrote, I said that on chat, like, when that scene happened. I don't think that's what they're implying, but, you know.
You and Mel both.
What does the word tank top even mean? Like, who came up with that?
Oh my God, why are we getting into
okay.
this?
Does it have to
thanks
be
for listening,
it
guys.
Like a
what do you want to end on?
Wait, centipede.
No, we're not.
Whatever.
I don't understand that. We didn't say that.
Mel found the centipede in her room earlier.
Oh my God, it's still in here somewhere. It's by the fruit roll-ups, and I want a fruit roll-up,
you know,
and I have to
know
be afraid
like
every time.
All your fruit
roll-ups
right now,
it probably is. They're blueberry fruit roll-ups because Halloween. They really don't taste that much different than regular.
It's a trick.
Okay, actually, what do you want to end on?
Boom June.
Yeah, Boom June. Yes.
Okay.
Boom June.
What's the thing
there's an
calls?
Inn? I thought it was Boom June.
Because it's Junior.
Well, I didn't know there was an N. I didn't catch
that. Well, there's an N.
My God. Okay. We're ending
You're going to have to get over it.
Furry foot.
Furry, whatever it is.
Furry foot
Boom
or
Boom, Boom June.
Boom June.
Thanks for listening, guys. 1, 2, 3, furry foot.
Boom June.
Centipede.